working with the local church to take the hope of Christ to every student in the United States. This is First Priority. Now here are your hosts, Steve Chirico and Brad Skelling.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the First Priority Podcast. Glad that you're here today joining us. We've got a great episode today. We've been continuing our series with business leaders, community leaders, and I've got a long time. Long time friend. I can say that, right? It's been.
Absolutely.
How long have we known each other, Joseph?
I don't know. Probably 10 years, maybe at least.
I would say so. Because we met, I'll just say, Joseph Daly, real estate agent, student leader. Yeah, we'll get into it
campus
all.
Campus coach, did it all the roles now.
Did it all. And yeah, my earliest memory is you and Hayden Roberts running around the office over there as interns, I believe college age, right? And was that 10 years ago?
Yeah, that was about, I guess it would have had to been 10 years ago, maybe a little longer.
Okay.
We were fresh out of high school. I'd volunteered for several years after high school, after being a student leader, and then stepped into being an intern. I guess it was the fall of 2014.
Okay.
That's right.
That would be
and
10
then,
years.
And then came on staff with First Priority in 2015, I believe.
Okay. Well, tell everybody, introduce yourself a little bit. Let's back up the truck. Who are you? Where are you? And we can go from there.
Yeah. So my name is Joseph Daly, and I live in Birmingham, Alabama, the birthplace of First Priority. I love to say that. So I grew up as a First Priority student leader, met this crazy woman in the stairwell of Pelham High School in Pelham, Alabama, and she turned out to be our area director, Debbie DeBoer, and absolutely changed my life and had a very big impact on me as an individual and also in my spiritual growth. And so First Priority is very, very special to me because of that. Yeah. And then later, like I said, you know, became an intern and worked on staff with First Priority for several years until I felt led to quit my job, which was crazy. And now I do real estate full time. And so I get to serve. For a little bit, I got to just serve kind of alongside as a volunteer and a business partner. And then just as of the last couple of years, I've come on as a board member and have really enjoyed that too.
I heard that you were serving on the board. Thanks for doing that. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I love it.
Well, tell us a story about student leadership days. Bring us back to high school. I mean, the rest of us were all adults and growing by then, but tell.
Yeah. I'm actually a child. I'm only 28. But the story is that, when I was in high school, I joined as a student leader, as a freshman. And so I got to know Debbie and, you know, got developed and, you know, we got to run the play and it's hard. I'll be honest, like as a student, it was hard, to run the play. We were going through some really, I mean, I know that the last 10 years have been way more shifting as far as culture goes,
sure.
But we were going through the beginning, if you will, the birth pains of all of the shifting culture that we've seen over the last 5 years or so.
Yeah.
And so we were learning how to navigate that. We were learning how to love people. We were learning how to be okay with other groups on our campus. In fact, there was one time where there was essentially an anti-Christian group that came on campus and we were very upset about it. And so we went to our principal and said, hey, you know, we want to shut this thing down. And he said, okay, if you want me to shut them down, I'll have to shut you down too. And so we learned really quickly about the Equal Access Act, you know, and all of those things. And so anyway, but that's kind of the story as far as being a student leader. I loved it. I mean, Leader Summit every year, we had a huge, I mean, we probably had 500 or 600 kids from the area who were leaders, just our leaders who came in and were a part of that. And now I think our attendance is probably over 1,000 every time we put that thing on. So, it's incredible to watch that thing grow and to watch the ministry just take off. And now as a board member, we get to sit back and watch the team really run the plays. Our schools are reporting higher than they ever have before. So every week we know what's going on in our schools.
Yep.
That's thanks to you, Brad. You and I kind of got to run that play at the beginning together with our new systems and stuff. But
that's right.
With your new systems that we got to run and play and tinker with. And
so
that was a lot of fun. And now I get to have the pleasure of serving as a business partner. I don't know what the, I've been out of it so long, I don't know what the exact term is. I know we've got one.
Business partner work, yes.
Does that work? Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun. In fact, we had our fundraising banquet last week. That was awesome. And so while we were at that event, this is just really neat, just to show you how the Lord works. While we were at that event, we had a lady from one of our schools get up, and she and her husband, they're pastors in the community that they serve, and they took on this school, and they've been so committed to these kids, and it's a lower income area, and they're just really passionate about reaching these kids and making sure that every kid has a Bible in their hand, because what they found out was that a lot of these kids only had a family Bible, and that was all that they had. Yeah. And so they were like, every kid needs a Bible in their hand. And so as we're sitting there, I was like, well, how do we get a Bible in all these kids' hands, and how much do they cost? So I'm texting Debbie, and I'm like, hey, Debbie, how much are Bibles? And what if we order them in bulk? And she said, if we order them in bulk, they're $4 a piece. And I was like, okay, so we can get 500 Bibles. I asked her, how many do you need? She said, 500. And I said, deal. We can get 500 Bibles for $2,000. That's it. I know that's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money. But if you chop it down, which is what we did, we said, okay, if I could just get, how many was it? I think it was, it'd be 100 of my friends. This is why I keep a calculator close.
I think I saw this Facebook post. Yeah.
I keep a calculator close for these moments. It was 100 friends that each gave $20. And if all 100, if 100 friends gave $20, then we'd reach our goal. And I'm proud to say that we're just, you know, I think we're like $100 away from reaching our goal. And it's just been a week. You know, so we've raised $2,000 in a week. We're going to put 500 Bibles in the hands of students before the end of summer. And it's just cool to get to be a part of something that's bigger than us. Yeah. And now being off the staff side and being on the business side, you know, I'm not in the clubs every day. Yeah. I'm not on the campus every week. I'm not, you know, I'm not tinkering with curriculum or how we're moving forward with our strategy or what's our next big event. Like, you know, we're not in the day-to-day operations anymore. So it's a lot of fun to say, hey, here's a need. Let's meet it.
Yeah.
And as a board and as a team, we can meet it, you know, and as friends, you know, people in our network. I mean, these are people who have no connection to First Priority. They're just $20 here, $50 here, $100. I had a lady give $250 this week, and I called her and I said, oh my gosh. And she used to be a campus coach. And she said, I believe in First Priority, and I wanted to support this. And so it's just really neat what God's doing and how we're reaching schools. I think we're at 139 out I don't remember how many schools we have. We have a lot of schools. We have a lot of schools.
You do have a lot of schools.
But we're halfway there. We're halfway to every campus here. So
that's nice. That's nice. Well, the hard part about knowing how many schools is sometimes you add the next community out. All of a sudden, hey, there's somebody in Gadsden. And you're like, oh, yeah, let's add Gadsden. Well, there's another 25 schools probably. And that number does keep growing because, they keep building schools, right? So
our team has been, our team that's doing day-to-day operations, our ministry directors, our area directors, our support staff, everybody is so laser focused on our areas. We've got, I think it's eight counties that we're seven counties that we're laser focused on now that everybody's like, these are the schools. And when we hit these, then we will expand our territory and go further and we will hire more people and create more vision. So it's been a lot of fun. Yep. I mean, It has been more fun than anything to sit back and watch the excitement and the success of our team this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm obviously not even as close as you are, and I'm excited about what's happening in Birmingham. What Debbie is, I mean, she's really grabbed a hold of it and turned it around. The staff that you're all hiring, talk about your staff a little bit because,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. You've got
so many great coordinators.
Some gifted people in the office. Out in the
area.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to forget names. So please forgive me because I'm not in day-to-day. I shake hands and get name tags a lot too. Cause I'm like, no, wait a minute. Remind me your name. So we've got so many, we've got an intern right now. We've got new area directors that are coming on full time, which is amazing. Yeah. Debbie, you know, Debbie is our ministry director here. And so she's kind of running ops, if you will, but then she's really brought in a fantastic partner over the last couple of years. And his name is Jody. And Jody is just so, he might be the most genuine person I've ever met in my entire life. I mean, he's just like when you picture love and grace and just forgiveness, like it's Jody's face. Like he's just full of it. That's awesome. We love him for it. And then we've got some younger folks coming on staff too that are even younger than me. I know, yeah. I'm a baby, but we still got people that are younger than me that are right. coming on staff. Ashlyn and Ethan, both have incredible stories and incredible testimonies. Ashlyn was a student leader. Ethan was a student leader. And to watch our team grow through people who came out of our ministry as a product of what God was doing in those places has been really amazing. Just to watch them grow and develop, and to watch that just because, you know, maybe not, I'm not in the seat anymore. And I still have a lot of passion. It's just a different level than what I did when I was in day to day. But to see other people have way more passion than even I had and go chase after the schools and the relationships. Because at the end of the day, it's all a relationship game, you know? So we found so many people who are joining us and different, I think we call them area coordinators. They're just kind of people that help us in the different areas with relationships until we can actually fund a full-time person in those areas. Yeah. So it's been really neat to watch.
Well, and it's a solution to a problem that I think every organization has, right? How do we replace ourselves so we can continue to grow to the next area? And what you're describing there, I mean, Mark and I have been talking about it a lot on a national level. Where are we finding our next director? Where are we finding these next coordinators? And the best place to do that is what you're describing. The people we have relationship with who have as much, if not more, passion for this ministry than we do, stepping out of the club coach role and into an area coordinator, giving them oversight over 10 or more schools and allowing the ministry to grow and flourish with those that are already in the family.
Absolutely. And watching, it's, you know, I'm very close to our ministry director here, Debbie. We've been close for years. Like I told, I mean, we met in the stairwell and we've been best friends ever since. I feel like I'm their adopted son. I mean, I show up at their house and walk straight to the pantry, get the Oreos. So you can ask her, like that's our friendship in a nutshell.
I love it.
But it's been amazing to watch her too, because the same passionate woman that I met over 10 years ago now, that met me in a stairwell, that was passionate about the gospel, that was passionate about students. That would have had to been 2009. It's almost 15 years I've known Debbie. Mm-hmm. The same passionate, full of life, full of grace person that I met in that stairwell is the same person today. And it's been interesting to watch her take her hands off, because she's been area director and been in the schools every day for longer than I can even really remember. And you know, it's been really fun to watch her empower that next group, empower the next generation of leaders, and really help guide and direct them. And, you know, I think that may be something that we see in other cities too. I know it certainly was with Priority Kids, and we were working through those sorts of things, but just seeing people that would hold on to it and not really become the leader, right? And really grow, you know, the definition of leader is influence, right? But also that the product of a great leader is to see that they've replaced themselves with a new leader. And so it's really a neat thing to watch her step into that and to grow up these new leaders and to develop them to a place where she's able now to step back and allow them to kind of take the lead, which is going to develop the next generation of First Priority and the next generation of student leaders, the next generation of youth pastors, and the next generation of parent support and business people. You know what I mean? So it's really interesting.
It is, but that's what you're describing is one of the hardest things to do, because what that makes me think about is my club back in Canton, South Dakota that I loved so much. And I've had to give that up, because not only did I move away from South Dakota in order to take the next step in what God had for me with First Priority, but I'm not on a, much like you, I'm not at a school every week. I'm not in the nitty gritty oftentimes, which is kind of sad, because I am in First Priority every day and I should know probably more than I do of what's going on everywhere. But we have to let go of the thing that we love in order to allow it to grow and turn it over to, but that's probably the hardest step in the entire process, is saying, hey, I need to let this club go so that we can see more happen.
Well, and it's the same thing, honestly, in the business world. You know, any successful business person that you look at has mastered one thing, and that's the art of leverage. And it's the art of hiring the right people to do the right things to help you be more successful. And the only way for the organization to be more successful is if you hire more people to be better at the parts that you're not best at, you know? So it's like, this year I went through some heart testing and, you know, figuring out some things. And when I say heart testing, I mean my physical heart. I went through about 8 weeks trying to figure out what was going on. My blood pressure was up and down. I had all kinds of crazy stuff going on. And it turned out that it was a certain medication that I was on. And I'll tell you, it was Vyvanse. You know, I am so full of life and energy that I needed a little help to stay focused. And so I've been on Vyvanse for years. And it turned out it was causing physical problems. And so this year we identified that. And my doctor said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm going to hire to my weakness. Because if I can't take medication for it to help me because it's going to cause damage, well, then I can certainly hire someone to help me, you know? And so now I've got a full-time director of operations. We just hired on an amazing executive assistant who's actually sitting at my kitchen table right now while we're doing this at my house so that I can walk right out of here and walk right into finishing up stuff. But it's about hiring, you know, hiring to your to your leverage and figuring out what am I best at. You know, I'm best at relationships and I'm best at, you know, the organizational structure. And then maybe somebody else is actually better at organizing clubs or organizing, you know, or even organizing my calendar. I know that sounds ridiculous. We've been trying to track this thing down for a month and it popped up in an email this week and he said, are you going to do that? And I was like, oh yeah, I need to schedule that, you know? So, you know, hire to your weakness. And so it's the same thing, you know, with our clubs, you know, and sometimes it's not a hire. Sometimes it's just a partnership.
That's right.
Like, hey, let's lock arms.
Yeah.
And let's do this together because you're passionate about your city.
That's right.
I'm passionate about your city. And I'm not boots on the ground every day. I don't live here. But you do. How can I partner with you, you know, to really reach the students here?
Yeah. So that was going to be actually one of my questions I asked you. What have you learned in the business world that can apply to First Priority? But you already answered that that question. That might be the best piece of advice we've gotten all year.
Well, but you know what? It's the best piece of advice that I never thought I would learn too.
Oh, really?
You know, when I first started in business, I had a mentor. He actually owns the entire Southeastern region of our company. And I got connected with him, honestly, just by the grace of God. And it's a long story, but we got connected. He's been a great influence in my life. And, you know, I would call and ask questions. He said, you need a personal assistant. And I was like, no, I don't. That's ridiculous. I do not need, he's like, you need somebody to pay your bills at home and to balance your checkbook and to run your P&L for your personal life every month. And then you can hire somebody to take care of your business stuff. And I was like, that's crazy. And I mean, he's talking about somebody like to keep up with my Social Security card and where's my birth certificate. And I was like, I think I can handle all my own personal stuff. And he was like, just telling you. And quite honestly, I think that had I hired that first, I'd be less stressed, you know, like, but I never did until recently, you know, now having an executive assistant who can really help me with those things. It was the piece of advice that I didn't think I needed when in actuality I did.
Yeah.
And every time I've wanted to grow, you know, there's only so much natural ability that we have.
Agreed.
Okay. And my natural ability can only take me so far.
Yep.
And so if I'm super energetic and I'm super passionate and I'm super, you know, organized, and those are all great things, but I can only go this far and I'm going to hit a ceiling of achievement.
Yep.
And when I hit that ceiling of achievement, it's time for me to decide if I'm going to back down from my success or if I'm going to break through that ceiling. And the only way to break through that ceiling is through three things. And it's either a new model, a new system, or new people in your world. And if you pick one of those things, you can go and run it well, you will break through that ceiling of achievement to the next level of the success that you're supposed to have. And then you hit the next one and guess what? Well, it's time to find a new model, a new system, or a new person. And that, so each time that we've experienced growth in our company and with my real estate team here in Birmingham, it's been because we hit a ceiling of achievement and we either added somebody, added something like a tool or a system, and we went to the next level, you know, even this week, I just lost somebody off my team, you know, then they're going to go do their own thing. And I'm super excited for them. But I really think that out of that, I'm going to watch a new ceiling of achievement come through.
That's
because now I've got a new person in that role and new systems and new tools and new models that are all coming into place. And it all comes down to that for growth. And you know, that was one of the things that they brought me on when I started as a staff person at First Priority was to build out systems and models and reorganize this thing and let's get this thing in order. And I loved it. And so I'm proud to have been a part of the foundation of that. And they've taken it so much further. you know, since our time or since my time being on staff. Yep. But it's really, it's been really cool to learn all the things in the business world. And now as a board member, I go back to our board meetings and I'm like, hey, we thought about this. Hey, we thought about this.
Yep.
You know, have we thought about this strategy? Have we thought about that strategy? And it's fun too, because I kind of push people's buttons on accident without realizing it, because I just don't, I don't have blinders, you know? So I'm like, oh, I better stay here. I don't do that. You know, I'm like, hey, what do you think? And they're like, oh, we tried that. I'm like, but did you try it this way? You know, so it's a lot of fun.
Well, and even we try that, but you might've been two levels below where you needed to try that. Now you've risen two levels. Now it might be that moment wasn't right. Right. I mean, just because you tried something once doesn't mean it's not going to work now.
Well, even like right now, one of our conversations is how do we really honor our donors? Hmm. You know, how do we honor them and say thank you and not just take a paycheck or take a check to the organization? How do we say, oh my gosh, we're so thankful that you became a priority partner. In fact, we're going to give you a mug, you know, and they become a monthly donor, I think at $50 or more, we send them a mug and we say, thank you so much. You know, it doesn't cost us a whole lot. And even if it costs us $50, those people are committed for $50 a month, and we get to bless them and say thank you. And hey, every morning when you get up and you have your cup of coffee, please pray for the ministry, right?
That's right.
So it's really fun to see those things happening.
I agree. That is awesome. So what's one thing that you would say, let's land this plane here. What's one thing you would tell somebody, whether they're, you have so many levels to you, student, you know, college student thinking about coming to intern with us. Maybe they're, maybe they're listening to the podcast for the first time. It's technology, Joseph. You just give it a double thumbs up and it just lights everything up. So
yeah. Okay.
After we're done recording.
I believe you.
What's one piece of advice that you'd give somebody stepping out in faith saying, hey, maybe I want to do this full time, or I want to intern, or they're asking me to be on the board and they're listening to this podcast because it said business leader. What's one thing you would tell them? Why should they start doing?
I would say take time to really understand the vision of what we do. We're not a Bible study. We're not just another on-campus hangout club. We're a vast organization now that is intended to develop student leaders to lead their friends to Jesus.
Right.
So what in your life? So identify the vision. Secondly, identify what you have to contribute to that vision, right? Who am I at this moment in my life?
Yep.
And at this moment in my life, I'm a business leader. And so what can I bring to the table? Is it leadership, you know, seminars? Can I speak at Leader Summit and talk about what business looks like and how to remain in your faith in secular world? Mm-hmm. You know, is it just being supportive? Maybe it's the relationships that I have to leverage right now. You know, maybe you're very connected to your community and you know all the pastors, and you know the youth pastors, or you know the financial guys in town, or you know the bankers in town, or you know the guy that owns the car dealership, or you know the guy that owns the title company. You know, maybe your role right now is to help those people be a good steward of what they have and see if they want to buy into the vision of what God is doing and give them an opportunity to bless others with what God has blessed them with. You know, the greatest, one of the other greatest things that I've ever heard in business is that if God has given you the ability to gain great wealth, then he has also given you the responsibility to gain great wealth. Hmm. Meaning that we have a call on our, there are some people who are called to be a youth pastor.
Yep.
There are some people who are called to be a ministry director. There are others who are called to be a student leader or to be a campus coach, a parent, whatever, right? Yep. And then there are some that are called to be successful in business, you know, and I really feel like God has called and blessed me with that. I've just honestly just sat back in disbelief for the last 6 years on how much God has blessed my life. I mean, 22-year-old kids starting in real estate, who's going to sell their house with him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember sitting in the coffee shop by the baseball.
Yeah. When I told you, that's right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And here we are over $50 million in sales later, where God has blessed our team and our business. And it's just been incredible to be a part of and watch God moving in that. But God has done some really cool things through that. So, you know, wherever you are, whatever your role is, understand the vision of what we do, which is developing the next generation of leaders and equipping them to share the gospel on their campus. mm-hmm. in a way that makes sense to this generation.
Yep.
And then identify what you have to bring to the vision and then just do it.
Yeah.
Like, just what is it that you have to bring to the table? If all you have to bring to the table and all the time you have to bring to the table is to show up the day 30 yep. minutes before an event mm-hmm. and fold pamphlets
yep.
or hand out bracelets.
That's
or
right.
give out t-shirts or if all you have time to do is to come and help us stuff envelopes for 30 minutes over your lunch break
yeah.
or you know, whatever it is,
doesn't matter. Yeah.
Whatever it is, just jump in and don't lose your passion and don't lose your endurance. Hmm. You know, there's that passage of scripture that talks about, hey, you know, your testing produces endurance and your endurance produces perseverance, right? And it's preparing you to say, hey, it's not an easy road. You're going to jump into ministry and suddenly you're going to have a target on your back
yep.
that says, I am doing kingdom work.
That's right.
And the devil will come after you, you know?
Right.
So stay strong. Recognize that you're worthy enough to have a yeah. target on your back.
Yeah.
You know, recognize that you're worthy enough to have a target on your back. You know, as Paul, who wrote in 2 Corinthians, you know, he was like, remember the passage? I think it's chapter, it's either 11 or 12. We just read it this week. But it's talking about how Paul, you know, was beaten so many times, and I got shipwrecked this many times, and I got this yeah. many times, and da-da-da. Like, he said, I'm not trying to boast, but since that's all you're going to listen to, well, let me tell you what I've done for the kingdom. And he yep. just started pow, 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 all the things that yep. he's been through for the sake of the gospel. Yep. And he got beat. Let's see. I think he was whipped 7 times.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go back and read. I don't have my Bible with me right now, but he was beaten so many times. And in fact, you know, the most amount of beatings they could actually give him by law was only 39, hmm. you know? And we also learned this week that, or I learned this week, I'll say this. I learned this week that they didn't have to give you 39 if you were sentenced to that, to lashes. If you were sentenced to lashes, you didn't have to get 39. 39 was just the maximum amount they could give you by law. Hmm. And he got 39 every single time he was beaten.
Wow.
And I mean, they could have given him 11.
Yeah.
They could have given him 4.
Yeah.
But every time the call on his life was worthy of the 39 yep. lashes.
Wow.
Because of what he was doing for the kingdom. And so I would just encourage and maybe challenge all of us, you know, to, is my life worth 39 lashes?
Yeah.
Or am I just doing enough for a couple?
Now you're scaring everybody off, man. Come on.
No. But I'm just telling you, I'm trying to do is prepare your heart to know ministry yeah. is hard.
It is.
And watching broken students and broken schools and broken communities is hard. But
yeah.
don't forget the light that you carry.
That's right.
And walk in with it bright.
That's right.
And don't worry about the darkness, because the light will overcome the
yep.
darkness. And that's the call in our life. No
that's
matter
right.
what it looks like, no matter
yeah.
what role we're in, no matter what we do, our call in our life is to walk in with the light and
yep.
to overcome the darkness through the power of Christ. Right.
So. Yep. Yep. And it's straight up true, because yeah, there's so many things that ran through my mind while you were talking. But the one that I'll share is the principle that reaches out to us and says, hey, thank you for, you know, doing first priority. And we look and it's like, well, that club only met twice, and they're meeting in the back module, the temporary building in the back, and they haven't started doing the rotation of meetings yet. They've just been praying. And what that principle is telling us is that we have saturated a dark place with light through prayer, even before
yeah.
we speak the words of Jesus, right? And it really is a spiritual problem that this generation is facing. It's not to know that they should be nice when they're bullying. It's that, hey, God loves you and has died for you and you need redemption.
Yeah.
And Christ.
Well, they're missing purpose.
Yeah.
They're missing
yeah.
purpose. And our purpose only is truly revealed when we're in alignment with who God is.
That's right.
You know, and that's when we experience the most joy and the most peace over our life.
That's right.
When we finally submit to that and live in it every day. You know, our church does 21 days of prayer and fasting every year.
Hmm.
And this year, for the first time ever, I sat down and I asked God, I said, what is in the way of me getting to more of you? What in my life is getting in the way of me getting to more of you? And God said, you don't make time for me. And I said, well, I'm just busy, Lord. I'm running a business and I'm doing this. And I'm a board member and I'm, you know, doing all the God things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Doing all the, we think they're good things. It doesn't mean every good thing is a God thing.
Yep.
But it also, you know, for me, I realized that I was packing my life with things that weren't growing me spiritually. And so I really felt God say, I want you to cut out all content. Hmm. And for 21 days, I didn't look at social media. I didn't watch the news. I didn't even know that people had dropped out of the election. I was like, what are you talking about? They did what? Yeah, I mean, yeah. I was blown. You know, I was at lunch. Somebody said, oh, yeah, well, so-and-so dropped out of the election. I was floored. I was like, what are you talking about? I didn't even know. And it had been 3 or 4 days since it happened. And I was like, oh, I've got to get back on the news. But, you know, but at the end of the day, that 21 days has been the most impactful 21 days probably of my life. Because God birthed new vision in me for different things. God birthed a new relationship, maybe I should say a deeper relationship with him over those 21 days. And through my fasting of content and all those things, I found more joy and peace in my life by just being with him and being quiet and being still for a little bit and not turning on Netflix the second you get home, or you know what I mean? Yeah. So, you know, if you're wondering, or if you get in a weird place of like, hey, ministry is hard, or I'm struggling to find the light in this situation, cut it all out and just get alone and get in your quiet place and don't move until God does, you know? So,
anyway. And it's on both sides. I'm going on a year without Facebook and Instagram on my phone. And that's been a game changer for my heart, for my peace, for my joy, all those things. But I don't always still find that time, right? We fill it with another thing. So I'm still working on that. My wife and I are walking through, shutting everything off for the summer, once all the things are done that we want to watch, like Survivor.
Right. No, let me finish like all the things that are important to me, Lord.
This is confession. This is
I'll
confession.
I'll get to you in a little now, while. Right? Yeah. I love it.
I agree. Well, thank you, Joseph, for being here, for being on the show, and most importantly, for being part of the First Party movement in Birmingham. And what you do there impacts the entire country, whether we see it or not. So appreciate you, appreciate your heart, and for joining us today, letting our audience get to know you a little bit.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, and thanks for pushing this, on the nationwide level. I appreciate you so much for the work that you guys do at First Party of America.